Now, David has a lot of questions. It's getting a little bit hot, so it doesn't matter, yeah? Makes us a bit tired, yeah, windy, huh? Then throw some water in your face, yeah? And then walk, yeah? In the evening, in the morning, yeah? Or sleep, you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, and wake up at, yeah, midnight. And then it is nice, yeah? But we are too lazy to wake up at midnight, huh? Ella? Yeah, sleep during the day if it is too hot, you know, and practice during the night, yeah? It's much better. Yeah, Toen? Yeah. And it is very quiet. Yeah. Yes, very quiet. And you will notice, you know, if you meditate at around 2 o'clock, everything calms down. Before that, you know, I mean, there's some energy moving around, but at 2 o'clock, you know, everybody is sleeping. Very quiet, very quiet. For about an hour. And then it starts again. So you miss all time. You miss the good times. Yeah, put some effort, you know, and see, you know, see the wonder of the citta, you know, when it is completely calm. Yeah. Then we notice we don't need anything at that moment. Huh? And this is very important for us, to experience it and re-experience and experience it and experience it so that it slowly sinks in, that actually all what we need is to shut down the mind engine that constantly thinks and memorizes. Yeah?
I start to notice that after some time here it's very calm, but when I go out, like the trip to Lai, come back, it's like, whoa.
Yes.
And that will take
a lot of time, yeah, until you find some calmness in your heart. And while you go out, keep your senses shut down. That is very important. And that is very difficult, yeah. When you go out, you see this and you see that, and memories come in and memories come in, then you smell this and, you know, other memories come in, yeah. So if you keep your sense doors shut, and that is actually, you know, what the Lord Buddha advises us, yeah, keeping our sense doors shut. And because it is very difficult in the world, Joanne, that's why he advised us to go to a monastery, or even there, it is too much, you know, then go alone into a forest, yeah.
See, I thought I already somewhat blocked the senses, but it's still so strong.
Yeah.
If we block it 100%, how can we interact with others?
How can you interact with others?
Yes. I thought we need to open up and be able to talk to, like, the salespersons or...
Yes. If you stay, you know, if you stay all the time with your heart, then you know there's a sense contact that is not important, and then you know there's an interaction that needs to be done. And then you do the interaction, afterwards you return back to your heart. And that is very difficult, yeah? Because the moment the citta goes out, you know, I mean, it, you know, then it feels, you know, it's just like the dogs, you know, you let them loose from the leash and then they run and run and run, right? Until they get tired, and then they slowly come back. Yeah.
I noticed the running, but it's hard to put it back. The thing is that it's like, oh.
Yes. Really, that's where we actually need our effort. We don't need to push, you know, we don't need to push the Buddha. The effort that we need, you know, is to return, because it is very sticky, you know, it is like, you know, it is very fast glue, you know, and then to pull the mind back, you know, and say, yeah, here, Buddha, 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 or, you know, breath, yeah. Okay. But the way you know how to interact in the world is really to stay all the time. And there it is much better when you go out, you know, to stay with the breath. Because the Buddha is sometimes, you know, especially, you know, when you have interaction with somebody, then you can't keep the Buddha, but you still can be aware of the breath when you talk to somebody.
People think you're more weird than normal. Than you normally
are. Yes.
Yeah.
They think you're weird, yeah, if you push it. If you just, you know, if you just go with the flow, then they don't think that you're weird. They think that you're very interesting.
Yes, there's that too. And they're drawn to...
They're drawn too, yeah? And they want to have conversation with,
yes,
you because they feel something, yeah? And if it is not just necessary, you just smile at them, you know, and then, you know, slowly go away, yeah? But it's not easy, yeah? And especially the Thais are very communicative. They like conversations, yeah? They talk, they can talk for hours, Kiki, yeah? Yeah? เข้าใจไหมเข้าใจภาษาอังกฤษบ้างไหมนิดหน่อยพูดตลอดเวลา คุยกัน 4 ชั่วโมงก็ไม่มีปัญหานะ Yeah, so that's the key, you know. I mean, learn it, you know. Learn it also here, you know, when you have short conversation, just to stay with your breath, yeah. And actually, you know, when you have really the awareness, you know when you want to talk and you know what you want to talk, and then you can check, you know, if it has any purpose or not. But it's so difficult.
But hanging out with lay people usually is very difficult. The conversation that come up will just...
Yes.
Otherwise, I mean, I'm already weird, and if I try to stop the conversation, it's like...
Yeah, you can. I mean, with the lay people here, you can. It's very easy. Yeah? You just say, I don't want to talk.
I was labeled arrogant the first time.
No, that's not arrogant. As actually, you know, I'm in the monastery, you should be quiet, and there shouldn't be any talking anyway.
That's
so.
What I thought.
Yes. Yes, Joanne. Mm-hmm. You heard that, yeah? Sip your mouth, yeah? It's so difficult, you know, that is so, it comes out now. You see somebody, you know, and you want to talk, yeah? And why? What is coming before that? If two people are together and don't talk, there's a feeling of unease. Huh? Isn't it? Yeah? And we want to overcome that. And that's actually, you know, what we should see and then stop it, you know, and look at the feeling of dis-ease. Yeah? Yeah? And then we don't need to talk. And then we can just listen. If the other person talks, we just listen to it, yeah? And then actually, you know, I mean, we listen to what the heart says, yeah? Because what he says and what the heart says is two different things.
Yeah? Yes. It's very rare to meet someone who, what they say with the mouth is what's really happening in each of them. The truth is...
That is very rare, yeah?
Yeah.
One out of a million, probably.
You are like that.
What?
You are like that.
Yeah, I have nothing else. I can stay quiet for months, yeah? I don't have to say anything. And there was one time, you know, when Lungta caught me. When I was, you know, at the panna, yeah, I mean, when we drink coffee, yeah, and Achampanya, you know, Achampanya was constantly talking to me, and you had to be, you know, polite, you know, and because he was a senior monk, yeah, and then Lungta came there, I'm your teacher, you know. When you come down, you know, you drink your coffee quietly, you know, and then you go back to your kuti and practice. And I smile, thank you. So I didn't always have to sit down there and listen to endless conversations. Yeah, but this is a really difficult task, yeah, because it is, we don't feel it actually, this disease, you know, when we're, yeah, next time try it out and see it, yeah. And then you know, I mean, you just want to overcome the feeling of disease, yeah, and that's why you start to talk. And what you talk, it doesn't really matter what you talk, you know, because one thing leads to another, yeah, and you don't feel that feeling of disease anymore. So just stay, you know, for a while with it, you know, see it happening, yeah, and see, you know, the urge, you know, to say something, and then just return back to the breath and don't say anything.
But like you say, you don't want to be rude, you know.
Yeah. That is.
You ask me questions and you go, and you try to be simple about it.
Yeah.
It escalates.
That is what you have to, you know, if that person asks a question, you know, then you can answer very shortly and then just stop. And then not to escalate. That is the difficulty. It's all training. It's all training. Yeah? And it's not easy. Yeah, Doris, yeah? And that is what we do, you know, we meet somebody and we talk and talk, you know, then drink a coffee, you know, and so we kill the time, you know, that is actually, you know, so worthless. After that conversation, you will see it, you know, when you practice, yeah, this conversation still comes up in your meditation, and then you tell yourself, I should have said this, I should have said it's going on, and until it quiets down, you know, until you come back to the stage there before the conversation, you know, I mean, it takes some time. Sometimes it takes an hour, sometimes it takes 2 hours, sometimes only 15 minutes. It depends on your strength of samadhi. So, I mean, be aware of that fact. And look, you know, observing, you know, I mean, see it, you know, in the daily reflection in the evening, you see it, what has happened. Then look at these points, you know, especially at these points, yeah? When you meet somebody, how you felt, you know, just recall it, yeah? Yeah?
I find that when I'm out now, there's actually a distance between me and other people. Like, there's a distance there that wasn't there before. So that, you know, after being away for 8 months and then coming back, It was really quite different. There was quite a distance. I mean, I was there, you know, and answered when they spoke to me, but it was, there wasn't.
But there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the distance. That means you shut yourself off.
No, I don't think I shut myself off.
Yes. Yes. I mean, from my personal, I don't have any feeling of distance to anybody. So if you feel that, then, I mean, look at it.
But there's an aversion there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Look at it, you know, maybe maybe it's just, you know, I mean, you say, I don't want to, yeah? But I don't want to, you know, it's also a form of greed, yeah?
And it's aversion, yes.
Yeah? It's a form of aversion, you know, and then you should look at what is behind this aversion. Because that wouldn't be the right way. Yeah? When you met Lungda Mahabua, I mean, he was always there, he was always approachable. Yeah? But if some people, you know, come towards Joanne and say, ah, there's a wall. You can feel it then, yeah? And then you know something is wrong. That means you push things away, yeah? And pushing things away, that is not the way of practice. Yeah? Being open, yeah? Actually, the best thing is, you know, to let it go through, yeah? But the moment, you know, we say, no, I don't want it, you know, I mean, it is just like an error piece in our heart. But, you know, if you open the heart, you know, the error just goes through, just like through air, you know, and comes out back. Yeah?
Going through is easy, it's when it sticks.
Yeah, that's where you defend.
Yes.
Yeah? The moment you defend, the moment you close down your heart, you know, that's where it becomes solid, and that's where it sticks. But when the heart is always open, it just goes through. And you don't even know what comes through, yeah? Yeah, it's a long practice. Yeah?
Maybe what Joel mentioned is as the distance is a state of observer within any activity you do, so that's not that thing, but such a distance of observer that she maintained being in a temple for 6 months.
Yeah, but there's one thing, you know, there's one rule of engagement. Just talk about yourself and don't talk about other people.
Because I'm talking about myself now.
Ah, so you have the same thing?
Sometimes I feel like I have a distance within the activity or...
Yeah.
Conversation or anything else. So
look at it and ask yourself, when you feel that distance, does it feel comfortable?
It's
comfortable.
It's a state of observer.
Not really. That means we are disconnecting ourselves from the other people.
But sometimes you have to do that.
No. The thing is to open up. We are part of the family. That doesn't mean that you have to engage with them.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
You don't have to engage with them, but you don't push them away.
Okay, I see that.
So I mean, look at the feeling when you feel, you know, there's a distance. Look at it. There's a slight discomfort because you actually prohibit something. Yeah? And prohibiting something is a negative feeling. Maybe you think, you know, it is positive because, you know, you don't have to interact. I don't have to interact with them. Yeah? But that is not the purpose. Neither do you have to interact, nor do you have to push them away. Yeah.
That's
the thing. Yeah. I mean, there's always this fine line. Yeah. When you open up. Yeah. What? If you have something to do, you know, and then somebody comes, I told you before, somebody comes and bothers you, you don't want to let go of the things that you're just doing. And so if you're meditating and somebody comes and bothers you, yeah, I mean, if you open up, you know, the thing is gone within a minute, yeah? But if you close down, you know, I mean, I don't want. And this I don't want, you know, is actually not a positive feeling. Look at it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very obvious.
Seems obvious now.
Now it seems obvious. Okay, so, any other questions? David?
Yeah, I have questions about the ego, my ego.
Yeah?
I listened to one of the talks about conceit, and I realized that I have this ego, like dominant ego. I'm aware of this. A lot of the time I see it, and the strategy that I was using to diminish it was sometimes to present myself not as good as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized by listening to this teaching that I was just changing the sign before the ego, but the ego was still there. It just had a different color, a different smell, but it was just the same thing. And I didn't feel comfortable with this. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this discussion with Dan Alex yesterday, because he mentioned that had been an obstacle for him as well. And I was wondering how to react when people either make a criticism or an apology of something you've done. Like they congratulate you for being this and that, or they say like this is really bad. And like if you What would be an appropriate reaction so that what you hear doesn't feed your ego one way or the other? How to, so that it doesn't touch your ego, it doesn't stick to you. It goes through, as you said.
That is very difficult. And it is the last thing that we worry about. Yeah. If you have problems with the ego, yeah. For me, you know, it was very difficult, you know, to receive, you know, praise. Yeah. Because I know myself, you know, I'm not good, you know, I'm in praising something. But you know, something felt elevated, yeah. This is something that you cannot correct at that moment, yeah. If you feel, you know, I mean, you get cocky after that, then just do the thing that you did, you know, said, no, there's some good in me and there's some bad in me, so let it level it out, yeah. That is the thing that you can do at the moment. The ego itself, you know, what is it? Is it the eighth fetter, manatiti? I think it is. Yes, it's the eighth fetter. The ninth fetter is restlessness and the tenth fetter is avijja. So, we are still looking at the first three fetters. So don't worry too much about it. You can reduce the ego by looking, you know, what they praise. Then you look at, is that correct what they praise? Or is that correct what they, you know, accuse you of? And then reduce the view that you have about yourself. That is the way how you can reduce the ego a little bit. Yeah. See if the views that you have about yourself are correct. Yeah. And also notice that this person says this about you and another person says just the opposite about you. So what are you now? Yeah. Are you a holy man or are you a bag of shit? Yeah? Because that comes, you know, two people, you know, have two different views. And you notice it in your life, your daily life, yeah? You have a friend, yeah? You see him as, you know, maybe he's a nice guy. And then you have another friend who sees the same person as a bad person. And neither is this a nice guy, nor is it a bad person, but he is as he is, yeah? And this is something that you have to review, yeah? You really have to review all the things when you think, you know, when you think your ego rises, yeah? Review it, you know? What is it what I think about myself, yeah? I mean, all what we know, every one of us knows it. When we come and are born as a human being, there's good within us and there's bad within us. So, every human being, some people have more good, yeah, and less bad, and some people have more bad and less good, yeah. But each of us, each being, wherever they are, you know, have good and evil in them. And then, you know, ask yourself, what is the view that I have about myself? Yeah? So if they praise you, you know, I mean, there is a certain thing, you know, that feeds on this praise because you think, you know, you also think, you know, I'm good.
Yeah, like but that. I don't want this because
I know.
This ego is in my way.
I know. Yeah. So then you can say, you know, what I myself did, you know, I said, no, I'm not that good, yeah.
And not only
did I tell myself I'm not good, you know, I just looked at the bad things that I did. And that diminishes instantly, you know, the praise. And when somebody says something bad about you, yeah, and that also, you know, also feeds the ego, then you look at something, you know, that is good within you. Just to level it out, yeah. So that the ego cannot feed on that. Yeah? Try to level it out. It is not easy, yeah. Because we do like to hear praise, yeah. You are a very good meditator, yeah. Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. But in a way, it's probably because I stress it too much.
Yeah.
Something feels artificial.
Yeah.
And I don't feel any lighter inside, and this is my. The thing is, I just want to feel lighter. And when I counter it,
yeah.
By putting forward something not very good lady, or people always say, well, this is wrong honesty, and blah, 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 and then...
Yeah, but let the people say what they say.
Yeah,
that is one thing, you know, let the people say what they say, yeah, and then see how they touch your heart. And when you see how they touch your heart, then go and investigate what kind of view is behind that. Because whenever they can touch you, whenever they touch a reaction of you, yeah, then there is something, you know, there's a view behind that, that you self create. It has nothing to do with the other person. Yeah? The other person says something and it touches a view of yourself, and that's where the reaction comes from. So if you remove that, you know, the reactionary pot or the check in the box, you know, like they call in England, isn't it? So it's called the check in the box. Somebody, you know, presses and then it comes out. Yeah. So if you look at the check in the box, you know, what is pressed? Yeah. And then try, you know, to analyze it, yeah, and slowly remove it. Then you will not be so much affected by what other people say. So when people say something good or something bad about you, I mean, it touches something within you, yeah? And that is what you have to find. And this is what you have to counteract. Not what the people say, because they will say whatever they want to say, yeah? And sometimes they want to harm you, yeah? And sometimes, you know, they want to praise you so that they get some praise back, yeah? That's their intention, yeah? But whatever affects your heart, that is your responsibility.
Yeah, sure.
And that is where you have to look a little bit deeper, yeah? Where is the check in the box, yeah? What did they just press? Which button did they press? You might not see it, you know, while they do it, you know, but in the evening reflection, you might get a better view of it. You see exactly what has happened. But you have to do this daily reflection.
I think I become quite alert to the situation where I realize that I'm, even in my thoughts, sort of sculpting an image of myself that I want to present to the world, and every time I see it, then the bubble will go. So that's good. It helps a lot. But when this situation, like, sometimes people praise you because they just want to make you happy.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that they're doing the exact opposite of the work that I'm trying to do with myself.
No, yes.
That's why I feel uncomfortable, and I don't know how to react.
And that's why I say, you know, the moment you know you might, this uncomfortable feeling, then look deeper. What is it? What did they touch? Yeah? And what they touched is always a view about yourself. Yeah? And the reaction, you know, because you work, you know, to get less and less and less views, yeah? Your reaction to that, you know, I mean, shows, you know, you don't want this view. Yeah? But it is, you know, it is just a word from other people. Yeah? There's nothing to do with me. Yeah? If people see me like this, then they see me like this. If people see me like that, then they see me like that. But if I have a problem with how they see me, then this problem is in my heart, not with what they said. And this I can correct. But I have to have some awareness to see what did they touch, yeah? And then you see the view that leads to the reaction or the view that they touched, yeah? And then you try to analyze this view and decrease it and to diminish it slowly. It won't go away in one day or in 1 week or in 1 month or 1 year, yeah? I mean, it will take, you know, the deeper our views are, the longer it will take, yeah? Especially for the French and the Germans, yeah? I mean, we feel always, you know, very righteous people, yeah? So if somebody, you know, tells you you're wrong, you know, I mean, we instantly react, yeah? Okay. Irgendwelche Fragen? Wer aus der Schweiz? You still have questions? Nikamtame? Wie geht's mit der Praxis?
Also zu diesem Thema, was Sie gerade gesprochen haben, da habe ich viel lernen können.
Was, mit dem Ego oder was?
Ja, also mit dem, wenn ich mich verletzt gefühlt habe,
ja.
Von jemandem anderen.
Ja?
Letztes Jahr konnte das mein Sohn eingemalt tun.
Aha.
Und das hat mich tief getroffen, aber wir konnten dann zusammen sprechen und ich konnte das anschauen.
Ja. Ja, es kommt nicht darauf an, ob er recht hat oder nicht recht hat. Ne? Es kommt darauf an, wie du darauf reagierst, welches Bild du von dir hast. Ne? Mhm. Und dieses Bild, das du von dir hast, das musst du, je stärker das ist, umso stärker reagierst du. Und umso mehr fühlst du dich verletzt, wenn das Bild nicht von den anderen auch so gesehen wird. Ne? Und wenn du kein Bild mehr von dir hast, dann bist du frei. Dann können die Leute sagen, was sie wollen. Ja? Und dann siehst du eigentlich auch dahinter, was die, welche Absicht die haben. Ja? So, when you're free of use, yeah, when you're free of self, you see what the people, you know, intend to do, you know. You see their intention. Do they want to harm you? Do they want to praise you? You know, for what? And why do they want to praise you? Why do they want to harm you? And so on, yeah. But as long as you have views about yourself, you know, I'm like this, you know, I'm like that, you don't see that. You just react automatically. Okay. What? Veronica or what? Yeah. You have any questions?
Not
yet. Sorry. Is it going slowly calmer?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, just use the time. Yeah, I mean, it's a good place, you know, to practice. Yeah?
Yes.
If no one has a question, then we have anyone. But, oh,
okay. No, that's okay. It's not about practice.
It's not about practice either.
Oh. when is the, apparently the wall is going to be extended?
Yeah.
I don't know, just all of a sudden all of this.
Yes, the workers are coming, but it is not very loud, yeah? I mean, they will probably start tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is the wall going?
Like, I mean, you see, it is coming up like that, and yeah. Now it is going in a right angle. Yeah?
The other right angle.
So I mean, you see only the wall sticking out towards the kuti tang, yeah? And then from there, take the right angle and then it goes straight down, yeah?
So is it going to cut off those trees? Like cut the trees off from the kuti?
Which kuti?
The trees that are in front of that kuti?
No! Right angle, what is the right angle?
This way. Okay, got it.
But it will cut off some of the trees that are over there, yeah? I mean, if you did some walking meditation, you know, in the other area, that will be cut off, yeah? Because it's not our land.
Yeah.
But you're staying here at Michelle's Kutio? Or Joanne?
I'm in the little Kutio.
Yeah, so your walking path is anyway, yeah? That doesn't affect you at all, you know, building the wall.
No.
Where are you staying in the wooden kuti?
The one next to Reiji?
Yeah. No, yeah, the wooden one, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, you might see people, you know, running around for a little while.
How long does this usually take? Like how long when
you
hear? Okay.
I mean, they are normally very quick, yeah? Yeah. So I mean, it might take a week or 2 weeks until they are further down. Yeah. So you had a question, not Dhamma related?
Yeah, I have another one, but I need to all the time. I think it, I'm not sure, I think it has to do with right view and right understanding. It's a more intellectual question about the planet that is not going very well. Like, I'm talking about ecology, and mm-hmm. I feel pretty bad about what's going on, and I'm usually quite concerned by this. Sometimes it's so overwhelming.
Yes.
That I just say to myself, well, the planet is dying, humankind is probably dying, and so what? That's impermanence. Let it die.
Yeah.
But then when I react like this, something feels wrong in my heart. So I think it has to do with right understanding and right view.
Yes.
It, for sure, there is impermanence. The planet is changing, and some.
It has been changing.
Disappearing?
People, this is something that I really, you know, I mean, I really cannot grasp. Every one of us knows the history of this planet. There have been ice ages, there have been hot seasons. We even nowadays, you know, that the desert has been fertile, you know, and it changes every 20,000 or 26,000 years. Then it becomes a desert again, and then it becomes fertile again. If we, as little ants, think that we can change really this planet, then we are really arrogant and conceited. What changes this planet is meteors, is the sun itself, and, you know, and also, you know, the magma within, you know, within the core of this planet. We can, of course, we can destroy a lot, you know. I mean, with our nuclear bombs, you know, we can make the Earth, you know, uninhabitable, maybe for thousands of years. But that, I mean, it will recover. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But you can do what I did is, you know, I tried, you know, to be as ecological for me, for my personal own view as possible, yeah, separating my trashes, you know, this is plastic, this is aluminium, this is this, yeah, and, you know, also trying to buy the food, you know, that comes, you know, from good sources, yeah, that depends also on how much money you have, yeah, the poor people can't do that, they are dependent, yeah, I mean, they need food, yeah, they cannot do that, you know, and you can't accuse them, yeah. I mean, the poor people, you know, I mean, they have to count every penny that they have, yeah? So, I mean, of course they will buy the cheaper product, yeah? And what they could do is, you know, I mean, separate, you know, the trash. But when you look at, you know, what in Germany, you know, it is, yeah? I mean, we started with separating the trash in the 80s, yeah? And then in the 90s we found out, you know, we separated trash into three things, you know, and then they brought these three containers, you know, to the factory where they, and then they put it all together and burned it off. Yeah? So there's a lot, but do it, yeah, and you feel good.
But I mean, like, you know, traveling here to Thailand,
yeah?
I sat on the plane for
11 hours.
Yeah.
I know.
And I mean, I wanted to come again to Thailand. I wanted to do this retreat, and so it was important for me. And at the same time, I didn't feel completely good about it because I said, can I spare this? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
I can go meditate somewhere in France, and I mean, that is still possible. So where you put there, like I said, I'm.
What is wholesome? Yeah. I mean. If you meditate in France, yeah, I mean, there's a certain kind of wholesomeness. If you come here, you know, and receive teaching, you know, that brings you further, then there's no question about it. Yeah,
yeah, but it's...
Yeah, I mean, yes, but, you know, people, this has been such a topic, you know, for the last 20 years or, you know, since I retired, actually 30 years. It started, you know, in 85, 86, yeah. I did what I could, yeah. And that's it, yeah. But I still was flying, you know, because, I mean, the airplanes go anyway, yeah. It's just like somebody says, you know, if we don't eat meat, you know, I mean, there won't be these, you know, these animals, yeah? Of course there will be these animals that will be slaughtered, and these animals, you know, have a I don't want even to think, you know, how the West, you know, I mean, raises the animals. And especially in America, yeah. I mean, did you see Food Corporation, the movie? I mean, you can't... You saw it, Joanne? I mean, it was so disgusting, yeah. What they do in the meat, you know. But that is something for you personally to decide, yeah. At least here, you know, in Thailand, you know, we have actually quite good food, yeah. It doesn't come from these food factories, yeah. People cook it themselves, you know, and yeah, I mean, the meat, of course, you know, does come, but, you know, it does come from local butchers, yeah. And so it is much more healthy, you know, as long as it stays this way, yeah. I mean, the more people want, the more people, you know. I mean, did you see the farm, the pig farm down there? Yeah. I mean, they live, you know, they have enough space, you know, to live, yeah. And the chickens, you know, that run in the village, yeah. So, I mean, that's normally, you know, how it is still done, you know, in the rural area of Thailand, yeah. And there's lots of rural area. I wouldn't think too much, yeah. But I understand, you know, because the media, yeah. I mean, the TV and the media are pushing this up and up and up and up, yeah. But what is much more dangerous, what they don't push up, the war, the constant war, yeah. The aggression towards other people, towards other nations, yeah. The constant interaction, the constant bombing, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many bombs, you know, the Americans, you know, per day. It's 140 bombs per day. And people die. Don't you think this is much more worthwhile, you know, when people suffer, yeah. And they suffer, yeah. So, I mean, get the relation, yes. Do what you can do as a single person, yeah? So you go, you know, I mean, you go, if you want to go to have meat, you go to your local butcher, you know, and then, yeah? It's better than to go to big, yeah, meat shop. The
United States has never not been at war. They have
yes,
never
1 year. There was 1871. I just heard it yesterday. There was 1 year where the United States was not at war. And when you look at the other countries, I mean, we, yeah, of course France and Germany, a lot of wars. Yeah, but there were quiet times during, yeah. We were not constantly at war, yeah. This is much more, this affects the world much more, you know, than all these little things, yeah. Of course, these little things are important, and what we can do is what we can do, yeah. But if there wouldn't be these wars, you know, I mean, how much fuel would be saved, yeah? How much material would be saved, yeah? And how much money could be spent, you know, towards the poor people who sleep on the streets in America? Or in France, yeah,
Canada.
or in Canada, or in Germany now, yeah. Where does all this wealth go? It just goes up, yeah. The richer get richer and the poorer get poorer, yeah. It didn't used to be that way, at least in Europe after the Second World War, yeah. I mean, there was a very broad middle class. But now the middle class, you know, has nearly dissipated. People, you know, I mean, they have to look, you know. Normally, you know, normally in France or Germany, I mean, two people have to work, you know, to make, you know, to be able to live. Yeah, that didn't used to be. Normally, only, you know, I mean, in the old times, you know, the husband, you know, went and had to work, you know, and the mother was at home. But now they can't afford it, you know. They can't afford the medical bills. They can't afford this, you know. They can't afford insurance. Yeah, they can't even afford a leave of absence. Yeah. Well, France is much better, you know, even than Germany, yeah, but Germany was pretty good, you know, until the 90s, yeah.
In Canada, healthcare is free.
Yes.
And when you're over 65...
It's not free. I mean, you pay when you work.
You pay when you work, but
yeah.
you can still go to the hospital and receive care.
Yeah.
You can go to the doctor without having to pay. And if you're a senior, your glasses are paid for, your anything to do with your teeth is paid for, specialists, everything.
Yeah, but wait until they take that away. They
will
take it
away.
They are trying. Just like they try in England. In, you had the same system as in England, yeah? Free health service. Eh? In Germany it was okay, it was not completely free. I mean, and then they start, you know, okay, now you have, you know, for medicine, before you got medicine on prescription, it was free. Now you have to pay at least, you know, 10 euros, you know, when you, yeah? And then next time you have to pay 15 euros towards the medicine. Yeah, I mean, they take it and take it and take it. Yeah. But, you know, it will end, yeah? I mean, everything, you know, when we look at all these empires, yeah, that, you know, used to be the Chinese Empire, then the Mongolian Empire, then the Persian Empire, then the Greek Empire, yeah, then the Indian Empire, and then the Roman Empire, they're all gone. Nothing left of it, yeah? And then society also changes, yeah? So there's a constant change. That is what is called anicca. There's a constant change, yeah? doesn't mean that it changes to the better, yeah? Because the people don't change to be better, yeah? But it, you know, it resets, you know, sometimes the clock is reset, you know, and then they start, you know, from slow and building up, yeah? And then the clock is reset again, you know, and then, yeah, it comes like that.
Because Germany used to be the hub of research and health, like especially health,
yeah.
They were known for that. People came from all over the world to go there.
Yes, they used to be very good. That you know, the universities, especially the university, you know, the hospitals associated with the university.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's just like the Germans' car. The German cars used to be very good. Now it is just scrap. Yeah. Yeah, well, I hear it, you know. Well, but it doesn't matter, you know, because now it is not. Before it was for built for solid, for lasting and for quality. Now it is just built for profit. Yeah, and that, yeah, everything is built for profit. Look at the houses, you know. I mean, after 20 years, you have to renovate them. I mean, look at the houses in England, you know. I mean, 800 years, you know, they're still as there. Yeah? Or some of the old castles in Germany, they were built to last, yeah. Nowadays, you know, nobody makes profit of something that lasts forever, yeah. A washing machine used to last for 20 years. Now it is after 3 years, you know, it breaks down, yeah.
We live in a disposable world.
Yes.
We dispose of everything, including people.
Profit. Yes. Yes. Yeah. People as well.
Sure.
Yeah. And it used to be like that, yeah? I mean, it used to be in the old days of the empires where they had slaves, yeah? I mean, they were just disposable, you know, when one slave died, you know, they just took the next, yeah? And so on, yeah? But that is also, you know, it's karmic consequences. What we can do is, you know, we can make ourselves better. Yeah? That is what the world is doing. We can't even change it. Yeah? It's going towards its end, you know. I mean, it's just boiling up, you know, the last boiling up, you know, before it's going to be reset. Yeah?
You know the sign of Tai Chi with Yin and Yang?
Yeah.
So
I heard of it, but I don't know really much about it.
That's very nice demonstration of the so-called good and bad forces in the world. So when the Yin is on its peak, Yang already there. When the dark energy is on the top,
yeah.
Yang is already there because it starts raising from the quarter to top.
Yeah.
Try to imagine. So
Yeah, I know this, the circle of yin and yang, yeah, I mean, where, you know, where this black, you know, is very small and then, you know, occupies most of it, and the white is pretty big and then, you know, slowly diminishes. Yeah.
In the most darkest time, there is
I mean, we probably live, you know, we probably live in a time where the black is very much, you know, and where the, you know, where the white is very little. But it will change because it turns around, yeah? Hmm? That is a nice thing. Everything changes, huh?
So we shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah. What, you know, I mean, if whatever happens, yeah, this should not be our concern. What happens to us, yeah? How we react to the situation, how we develop ourselves, that should be our concern, yeah? To worry about all these things that are outside and are most of the time not even within our, yeah, no, not even in, within our power to change, yeah?
Yeah, but the, I mean,
I understand the concerns, you know,
and cause and consequence aspect of it, like, it is proven that the carbon emission is responsible for part of what is going on. It's not the whole, like you said, the earth has always been changing, and that's impermanence, but human activity has also a tremendous impact on what's going on, and this, we are all involved in this. So
yes.
I thought that there is some karmic dimension also to it. And,
yes, there is a karmic dimension that we experience it, yeah? And there's of course, you know, I mean, there's a, if you're conscious of your surrounding, I mean, you don't have to worry about anything, yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, what makes this world so terrible at the moment is the greed of the people. They want more, yeah? And they can't, you know, they can't, yeah? Can't stuff their belly enough, yeah? Just like the hungry ghost, they are always depicted with a very small mouth and a big belly, yeah? And these are at the moment, you know, I mean, lots of them are there, yeah? And they will go, you know, and there will be peaceful times again and so on, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha talked about these cycles, yeah? There will be cycles, you know, where the Lord Buddha is born, you know, at the time of the Lord Buddha. I mean, even there was war, yeah? Yeah? And I mean, he only prevented, you know, when his Sakyas and the neighboring state, you know, got into conflict, that is the only time when he tried to prevent it and said, please, yeah, both sides, yeah. He didn't say, you know, this is yours or this you shouldn't touch. No, they were quarreling about a river, you know, that goes just between their lands, yeah. And then he said, you know, you take and you take, you know, you take the same thing, yeah? Don't fight a war, yeah? But normally he didn't, yeah? Because even the Lord Buddha cannot, yeah? He cannot convince the people, you know, we should all live at peace, yeah? I mean, it's, how difficult it is for you to live at peace with yourself, yeah? That's actually, you know, I mean, when you look at my life, I was in the student union, yeah? I was, you know, as a student, you know, I was on, you know, marching, you know, for progress and so on. Then I was in the worker union, yeah? When I started working, I was in the worker union, and then I was in the peace movement that was very big in the 85, 86, yeah? When Reagan came up and then had all this SDI and, you know, Star Wars and so on, yeah? And then, When I started meditation 89, yeah, I went to one of these, you know, conferences, you know, and then I was sitting in the back, you know, and I was watching, you know, the people. You have to do this, you know, I mean, they're always, you, and with this aggression, you know, I mean, you have to be quiet, you have to be, I said, no, that's not the way, yeah? You have to make yourself peaceful before you can ask somebody else to be peaceful. That is a great story of Gandhi, yeah? Yeah? I mean, he, you know, he only lived, you know, he only preached what he lived, yeah? And we should do the same thing. We shouldn't ask other people, you know, to be at peace, you know, when we are constantly boiling up. So let the other people do it, you know, and try, you know, and get, yeah. And actually, when you ask your heart, you know what to do. But because we constantly in our mind, yes, we should do that. And we are influenced by our society, the surroundings, our friends, and yes, we should, you know, yes, we should do this, yes, we should do that, yes, we should do that, yeah. And this is so important, this is so important, yeah. But the moment you withdraw a little bit, you know, and you say, there's something else going on that is much more important to counteract, yeah. And that is the prevailing greed of the people. Yeah? They can't get enough. Yeah? And that's why we have all these problems. Yeah? And it starts with us. You know, I mean, we are also influenced. Yeah? I mean, all with these new gadgets that can constantly come up, you know, and fool us. Yeah, we need this new gadget. We need this new soap. Yeah, or we need to taste, you know, this kind of food or that kind of food. Yeah. Now we have to have, you know, in Germany there were only 3 Thai restaurants when I came back, yeah. And now, you know, it is full of Thai restaurants because people like, you know, new kind of food, yeah. I mean, before it was French food, you know, and then it was Italian food, you know, lots of Italian food, and then came French food, yeah, and so on, and so on. And then Greek food, you know, and so
on. Sushi, don't forget sushi.
Oh! Never liked Japanese food.
Oh, I like the vegetarian, but I don't eat fish.
But it doesn't matter. Huh? What we need to do is be at the level of our heart, and then we know exactly what to do. Huh? The moment we listen, you know, and that is it. And it's not your fault, yeah. But you're constantly influenced. What you see and what you hear, you know, constantly forms an opinion in your mind, yeah? And that is so difficult, yeah? Only if you're here, you know, for 10 years, and then you can slowly, you know, push your chair a little bit further and see, oh, wow, it's completely different, yeah? But as long as you're in there, yeah, in the society, then it forms you, yeah? And you don't see it. I had the experience, eh? when I was about 23. I was studying, you know, in Germany, yeah? Finishing my diploma, yeah? And then I had a stipend to go to the United States to study there, yeah? And just the difference of culture there. When I came back to Germany, I thought, you know, why are they so narrow-minded, you know? They are so narrow-minded. Before that, I didn't see it. Yeah? I couldn't see it. Yeah, I mean, you know it as, yeah, you know it as well. I mean, if you live, you know, if you live in another country and then come back to your own country, suddenly you realize, I mean, how they live and what kind of views, how narrow-minded their views are about the world, about you, about, you know, how you should live and so on. So it is really a good experience, you know, to live for a few years outside of your country and then come back and then see. I couldn't live. I couldn't talk to these people, you know. But what happens, and after 2 years, you know, and then I start to live in Germany again, you know, after 2 years, you just get evened out. Yeah, I mean, that's what is happening, yes. You don't notice this slow changing, yeah? In the beginning, you know, it is like a shock, yeah? When you come back. And then say, well, how can they think like that? How can they act? Something will remain, but, you know, most of it is evened out, yeah? And then sooner or later, you just think like a German again. Except when you go the spiritual path. So, okay?